Hi, this is Katie Day, and welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women over 50 across the globe. It is sometimes the small acts and achievements that can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They will make you laugh, sometimes they may make you cry, and they will always inspire you. Today it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing Sue Warren. Sue is a woman fast approaching her 70th year. She was born in London to working class parents. She married young and had three children. She ended up with a failed relationship and brought her three children up on her own. Her work has involved many different occupations, including waitressing, driving, and office work. Sue also did a two-year diploma course in social work and became a community worker. She worked with pensioners, teenage mothers, and as an advice worker at a play association. Sue then ran her own business selling vintage clothes. She then decided to leave London and head for the country and got a job on a llama farm. Sue now lives by the sea, which has always been her dream. Retirement isn't something on Sue's agenda. She has done some catwalk modelling. She also sits for artists. She has also made a film called Extraordinary Times, which is a positive view on ageing. This was inspired by her wonderful neighbour, Rita, who sadly died just before Christmas, just short of reaching her 100th birthday in March this year. The women in the film are all amazing, and Sue feels very honoured to be able to tell their story. She didn't think she would be making a film at this stage in her life. But as Sue says, everything is possible, no matter what your age. Sue lives by the phrase, life is a roller coaster ride, treasure every moment of it. Joie de vivre is one of her favourite quotes, and that's her philosophy of life. Treasure it, no matter what. And Sue is raising her arms in the air at that phrase. I share it with you, Sue. Thank you so much for being interviewed. I've known you for a few years now, and you do have the most amazing life. And the catwalk modelling, I just have to tell everybody who's listening, there's some wonderful boutiques where we live, in Hastings and St. Leonard's by the Sea, and they had a fashion show in October last year, showcasing the wonderful outfits that they wear. One of them was a vintage shop, and Sue was the model for the vintage shop, and there were some other models there from all ages. I think the youngest was probably in her 40s. So Sue was in the upper age range of those models. The top and I have to say, you were the most stylish. You so worked that catwalk, girl. You were amazing. You're a natural.
I'm such a show-off, actually. That's the thing. Put me on a stage and I just surprised myself. I really didn't think I was going to be like that, because I'm
really
actually got a shyness about me. But you put me in front of an audience and I'm like somebody else.
You were awesome. Strutting your stuff.
They couldn't get me off the stage, could they? That's the thing. They really couldn't get me off. Every time I came off, they say, could you not stay on the stage for so long? I was like, yes, all right, it's okay.
And then I did it again. You were brilliant. Was that the first time you'd ever done catwalk modelling?
No, I've done catwalk modelling for a friend of mine who designs hats. And every year they have, or every other year, they have a... Micah Crampton, who lives here, she makes this wonderful paper couture, and she does this big show.
She does in Bexhill,
yeah,
doesn't she?
That's amazing. Right, Adela Waugh. Yeah. And I modelled for Beverly Reed's hats. And I'm obviously the oldest model on the catwalk. And the last time I did it, I was told I'd have to wear sequin hot pants, which is a bit scary, actually. And I was like, no way. And then I did. And in fact, the main thing was on the hat anyway. But it was a really fantastic show. And it was all based around disco.
Wow.
So I've done that for a few years, that show.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
No, it's really good because I love hats as well. So that's brilliant.
And there is a look of Mary Quant about you.
Yes. I know. Everyone says that.
It's
but
the
it's the 20s. I got the... Yeah, and I really like 20s stuff as well, actually. So I do... Mm. That's my favourite period, I think. So that's what I do. No, but this was disco. So this was like... What's that period? 70s.
70s, yeah.
So that's... that. Hence the
John Travolta and Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, oh my God. But we did it. It was great fun.
Yeah, I bet it was. I bet it was sequin hot pants.
Lovely. And my children were saying, Mom, no, not hot pants. And I was like, I've got to do it, they've asked me. And it was fine, it was fantastic. And I felt really, you know, great that as a woman of my age, I could do something like that. Of course.
And anyway, it's a parent's, part of a parent's job description to embarrass their children.
Absolutely. And may I never stop. Because that'll be the day. You know, I can't, oh no, no. And that, my kids know that anyway, they're used to me, to be quite honest, so.
Brilliant. So tell us a bit about, I mean, you've had such an amazing life. Mm. We're doing all sorts of things. Mm. How did you go from working in London to working in a llama farm?
Right, okay. Well, I am a bit of a country girl at heart, even though I grew up in the city. I saw this job advert, and I was with a friend of mine, and he lives in Somerset, and it was for working on a farm, and it had a house attached to it as well, right. The job. And I said, well, why don't we just check it out? It'd be really good fun. And I went for the interview. And the funny thing is, I had looked after a llama in London.
Really?
Yes, I had.
How did that work?
Which held me in good stead, you know, years later. I was involved in women's groups in London, and we had a women's centre based in Brixton, and across the road was a man that had a travelling circus, and he had a llama, and every now and again, I would take it out for a walk.
In like Brixton.
Round the park.
Okay, for those in America who Brixton means nothing, think kind of Harlem in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. It did cause quite a stir. So I could actually say, oh yes, I have had dealings with llamas. Well, one particular llama. So he got the job.
Good grief.
And so I left London and everyone was like, my goodness, what is she doing? But I thought, well, why not? It's an adventure. And got this amazing house and looked after the llamas in the house. And it was really good fun. I love llamas anyway. I think they're amazing.
They're incredible creatures. Amazing.
Yeah, so that was my thing of getting out of London and living in different places, which was my aim. And from there, I went to live in Lyme Regis after that, which was beautiful. Oh,
that is a beautiful part of Devon,
isn't it?
Is it Devon or Dorset, Lyme Regis?
Dorset.
It's like, kind of on the border,
isn't
it?
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And I had a view of the Cobb from my window, which is very famous.
French Lieutenant's Woman.
That's right. And there was the anniversary of the film when I was there, and I went along to the anniversary of the film and recognise all the buildings that I've learnt to love while I was there. And a lot of people were extras in the film. So it was really exciting.
Yeah.
Because John Fowles actually lived in Lyme Regis.
Did he? Mm. It's that wonderful scene in the film, isn't it, with Meryl Streep walking along
the Cobb.
Yeah.
I did that many times while I was there, you know. Looking out for the French lieutenant, but no, he never
did.
He never does.
No, didn't then. No. So it's the story of our lives, really, isn't it?
With my cape around me because it was really cold looking out, you know. But hey, you know, whatever. So it's so I loved that. Yeah, that's the llama farm was just another adventure that I went on.
And how long were you doing that for?
Oh, only a few years, about 3 years. It wasn't very long, but they moved. They're actually living in France now.
Okay.
So that's when I went to live in Lyme Regis, and then from Dorset, I came to live in Hastings.
Wow. So how long have you been here now?
Nearly 9 years.
Gosh.
I know, it's gone so quickly.
It does go quickly.
Yeah, and I do love it. I absolutely love it. But I'm never a person to stay in one place for very long, I'm afraid.
Are you not?
No, I get fidgety feet. And I like the idea that I'm going to go somewhere new and have more adventures. But I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but at the moment I am getting slightly fidgety.
Oh, yeah, getting a bit twitchy.
Yeah, a bit twitchy. So who knows, you know, who knows what might happen. I never think of being anywhere forever.
Wow.
Ever.
Oh my gosh.
No.
Well, that's actually a great way to live, isn't it? Because you're not constricting yourself.
No.
You're not putting yourself into a box. You're just allowing life to unfold.
Absolutely.
And offer it to you whatever it chooses.
That's exactly it.
It's, you know, I say when I work with people, I live my life like a AAA battery. I try to stay alert, awake and aware. awake particularly, because most people actually go through life asleep.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's recognising when an opportunity flashes across you And if you're alert and awake and aware, you can stop it, look at it and think, okay, do I want to do anything with this opportunity right now? Is it right for me, right? Or do I just let it carry on past?
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you're asleep, you're not even aware that the opportunity has flashed past you.
I know.
And you miss out potentially on so many adventures in life, don't you?
I agree with you. I mean, you kind of cotton wool yourself. You feel safe somewhere. And so you stay in with that safety net.
Yeah.
And I'm not prepared to do that really. Yet. You know, maybe when I'm 97, I might stay somewhere and think, oh, this is it. I like it here.
And maybe you won't.
And maybe I won't. Who knows? You know, who knows? My friends get a bit annoyed with me because they have their address books on the page, which is Warren, which is completely every address is crossed out. You know, they've got about 10 different addresses. They go, where are you now? And I go, oh, I'm just living in da-da-da. And they go, okay, well, how long are you going to be there? I don't know how long I'm going to be there. You know, just bear with me. And they've been to visit loads of different places where I've lived, and they're quite happy with that. But I'm always amazed that they've stayed in the same place for so long. Like 30-odd years in the same place. I really can't do that.
It is amazing, isn't it? I mean, I've lived in my flat for 15 years, and it's the longest I've lived anywhere in my entire life.
Yeah. Isn't it?
But maybe I did so much moving around when I was younger. I've needed a bit of stability, I'm getting a little bit.
It's a little bit twitchy. I know. That's how I'm feeling anyway. So who knows? I mean, obviously, look at this place. It's beautiful, and I've got that view of the sea. So that would be hard to turn myself away from that. And if I did, it would have to be somewhere beautiful.
Yeah.
With a great view.
Of course.
You know.
Has it always been in the UK? Have you ever lived abroad?
No, I haven't, but maybe that's an option. Who knows? I don't know. You know, it's like you say, if anything came up, I would consider it, really.
Fantastic.
So, you know.
How did you come to do your film?
My film, well, as my inspiration. Well, the thing is, because I'm getting older, and there's always been such a negative view of ageing, it's kind of scary. You think, oh my God, what am I going to be like in 10 years' time or whatever, 5 years' time? And so my neighbour, as I said, was my inspiration because she recently died, as you said, and she's going to be 100. She lived on her own. She was totally independent. She was really inspiring. That's and true. I thought, you know what? I want to record this. I want people to see that it's not a scary stage of your life. Because, like I say in the film, what's the point of going through life and then being scared of the later stages of it? You know, being really afraid of aging. And I'm not saying it's all going to be great, you know, for various reasons. But you know what? You've got to look on the positive side of it. Otherwise, it'd be horrible. You know, people go, oh, I don't want to be old. It's so horrible. Well, it's not always horrible. And that's what I wanted the film to show. And the women in the film actually, you know, they all have their ups and downs, like anybody, and their aches and pains and whatever. But they all have such a positive view of life. And that's what I wanted to show, because there's lots of stuff around in the media or books or whatever that always shows the negative side of it. And I just think we should be aware that there's a lovely side to it as well.
There is a lovely side to it. I always think that if you look into the eyes of a teenager, you see an old person. But you look into the eyes of a 90-year-old and you see a youngster.
You do. You do, exactly. And they will say that. They will say that they don't feel... It's their bodies that have changed, but inside you're just the same as you always were, really.
But without all the angst hang-ups and stresses that we have when we were younger.
Absolutely, all that teenage angst.
Oh, I would not go back to those years.
Seriously, nor would I. And it was angst a lot of the time. And so much about the way you looked physically and, you know, your whole appearance. And you know, and that's the thing, you can be yourself. And I think being true to yourself is a really, really important thing.
Well, it's the only way to live, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think for the first half of our life, be that whatever it is, anything between 35 to 45 years, we live our lives according to the expectations of other people.
Absolutely.
Then something happens, otherwise known as a midlife crisis. Whose life is this?
I know.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And we change, which is why we get younger as we get older, because we live our lives.
Well, I would say it actually happened to me earlier.
Did it?
Yeah, to be quite honest. I was always a very odd child. I was always very
different.
In what
way?
Well, I was, you know, like strange looking with long plaits and looked very odd and would make things out of things that looked very strange. My parents found me quite strange. So I think that I went down that road that you're talking about, whereas I got engaged very young and got married. And all the time I'm thinking, do you know what? I don't really feel this is me. So when I split up with my husband and I had my children by myself, I think that's when and I was only in my late 20s.
Gosh.
And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to now, from now on, do what I want to do and live my life accordingly and be true to myself. I didn't realise that's what I was doing at the time. But I would think my whole life changed when I was in my late 20s.
Gosh.
And, you know, and I became who I truly felt I was, that person. And so that's how I've continued to live my life, which is not always it's not always, it's quite detrimental sometimes because people don't understand why you're living that way. So you get a lot of problems from other people, especially like my parents and the people the friends I grew up with saw me as being very odd. But I'm really glad I did that. And I've lived my life accordingly.
Good.
You know, and my kids have grown up to be three, you know, really wonderful adults. And they will talk about their childhood because it wasn't, it was, you know, not always easy because it wasn't like conformist. But they're three wonderful adults and that's the best you can hope for. And they still like me. You know? And they still want to be my friend as well as their mum, you know. So that's the best you can hope for.
That's very
for,
precious,
you know?
Isn't it?
It is.
Well, by being true to who you are and living your life your way, you gave them permission to expand into the human being they were born to be.
Absolutely.
And not to be constrained by convention.
Absolutely.
And the shoulds and the oughts, which is how most people live.
That's true, that's true. And that's worked very well in their favour, you know. And even my grandchildren are like that, which is great.
Fantastic. How many have you got?
Five.
Five? Yes. Wow.
I know. The oldest is 21 and he towers over me. Yeah. He
Good Lord. Over me.
The rest are all girls. And they go from 21 down to 6. And yeah, no, it's great. I love it. But I'm not a full-on grandma. You know, I'm not always available, actually. I will love them dearly and be there when they need me. But I am not always available, I'm afraid.
Well, you're too busy.
I'm too busy.
Making films and running lava farms.
Absolutely. Which I think is important,
yeah, it is.
Actually. Because as much as I love them, I would die for them, but I am not always on call as well. And I do have a life.
Well, the role, I think, of women particularly, I mean, older people post 50, but women particularly over 50 has changed dramatically.
Yes.
I was looking at a photo, going through some old photos between Christmas and New Year, and I saw a photo of me when I was about 18 months old in the arms of my grandmother. And I was trying to work out how old she was when that photograph was taken. And she was probably round about my age now, which is 56. Kind of around 56, 57. Because she died when I was 10 and she was in her late
60s. Right, okay.
And I looked at that photograph of her then, the age I am now.
Wow, it's amazing.
And she looks as though she was probably in her late 80s.
I know, it's incredible, isn't
and
it?
And I looked at a photograph of my mother when she was the age I am now. And she looked younger than my grandmother, but she still looked as though she was possibly a woman in her late 70s.
Absolutely.
Mid to late 70s.
Yes.
And I think what I'm doing now, I'm just kind of reinventing myself at the age of 56 and travelling all over the world with my training. And my mother was slowing down and my grandmother had stopped completely.
Yeah, yes.
So each generation, we just get younger and younger,
Absolutely.
Don't we?
Absolutely. And I think we're the pioneers, really.
I think you're right.
I think we're the pioneers because people will say that, you know, women that are younger than me say, wow, it's amazing. I said, but you'll be different too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, because we're not conforming to the idea of what age, like people expect of our age either. You know, we still have, I mean, I haven't got a perm, and because the whole thing was like, you know, permed hair, and there was a uniform almost, wasn't there?
There was.
And I'm not running around with mini skirts or anything like that, but I just wear what I feel is suitable for me as the person that I am, you know, and I don't feel actually any age. You know, it's only when people ask me my age and I tell them, and I even think to myself, wow, you know, God, I'm going to be 70 on my next birthday. Oh, my goodness. But I just feel I'm true to myself yet again.
Yeah.
And the way I dress is how I feel, what I feel. And I love clothes anyway, you know, as you know. And so I dress accordingly, you know, really, of how I feel.
How can people see your film?
Well, it's on YouTube.
Is it?
Yes, right. It's on YouTube. Extraordinary Times, and yeah, they can see it. And I think that's, yes, it is just YouTube at the moment, actually. Or else I can send copies out to films and people as well, but they would have to get in touch with me somehow.
Okay. We can make sure I can put. Do you have a website?
Is there an email address? I'll give you my email.
So make sure I put those on the main site so people can find it.
Absolutely. Yeah, amazing. Absolutely.
How many women did you showcase in the film?
Six.
Ranging from what ages?
The 87 was our baby of the film.
87 was the baby.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then Rita at that time was about, what is she now, 99? So it was 3 years ago. So she was 96.
Right. Amazing.
And the rest were all in their 90s, actually.
Wow. Yeah. How did you find them?
Well, I put out a thing on Facebook.
Did you?
Enough. That's how I did the whole thing. And then I got people that were involved in wanting to make it with me, which was brilliant, because I'd never made a film before. And that's how I got the cameraman, because I didn't actually do the actual filming. I did the directing, the research, and getting it all together. And, yeah, so I put it out on Facebook, and people said, oh, I know somebody. I know the very person. And I concentrated on women, actually, because people did say, why haven't you put men in the film? Because I think it's, in a way, it's harder for women aging because of the physical thing.
Yeah.
You know, you've got older men that still see themselves as very handsome.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay. the whole aging process for women is very different. And as you get older, and if you're going grey or whatever, you know, there are names for women that there aren't for men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got old hag and stuff like that, which is awful. Whereas men become distinguished, don't they?
Yep, the vocabulary is very different, isn't it?
It really is. And it's just not on, actually, you know. And so that's why I chose to feature women. You know, I know it's hard for men as well, but I think in a physical sense, it's much harder for women.
I think it is. And also our hormones
can
play havoc with us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Going through it now, I'm having to kind of address what that means to actually when we go through the menopause, because it really isn't something that's discussed.
No, not at all.
That
not
well,
all. I know.
Even amongst women, actually.
Yes,
and
yes.
When it arrives, you think, whoa, okay, where did that come from?
I know. And, it's
and it does
taboo.
Make you kind of reassess where you are. And it's that realization of that shift in your life pattern. In that you have gone from being a reproductive, potentially
absolutely,
reproductive woman
absolutely.
To a non-reproductive woman. Now, you know, I don't have children, so I've never gone through that experience.
Yes.
But just the realization that I now no longer can
it's a huge
can
thing.
Have a real
absolutely.
Impact on how we view ourselves, can't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think for women in their 40s that are not going through the menopause as such and they haven't had children, I think that's a very difficult thing for them if they wanted children, you know. And it's much harder for younger women now, I think, as well. Especially if they haven't got a partner or whatever and you know, that. But I have to say, it's also very hard for men, sexually. You think about that, because that's all part of their makeup, isn't it? That they're sort of very virile.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing that doesn't get talked about
absolutely.
As well.
It probably gets talked about even less, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's a male thing.
It's a male thing.
Yeah.
And
it's seen as weak, isn't it? That, you know, they've lost that kind
lost
of thing.
That virility.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah. But for women, it's harder.
It is.
Harder.
Because our bodies physically change. Men's do as well, but I think ours possibly change more dramatically.
Oh, yes, they do. I mean, yes, you put on weight and whatever, but you still, I think women are beautiful. The women in my film, you know, I would say to me, they are all beautiful women.
Absolutely.
You know, regardless of their age or whatever, there's a beauty that shines out of them.
I see with some of the women I've been interviewing, a certain serenity oozing out of their eyes, because you know, eyes are the mirror to the soul, window to the soul, and there's kind of a calmness and an acceptance. I think when we reach the point where we are truly comfortable in our own skin, which not everybody does, some people go through their whole life and never reach
I
that
know,
point
I know.
But the women I've been interviewed and the women in my life, we've all got to the point where we are truly comfortable in our skin, yes. and we really don't care. I say to my clients, what other people think of me is none of my business. But what I think of myself is.
Absolutely
my business. Yes. And I've had to do a lot of work over the past of how I think about myself and not to put myself down. And what I see is an amazing serenity and calmness from older women who are really accepting of who they are and the gifts that they give to the world.
Absolutely, that's how I feel, actually. It's kind of a, you're right, it is like a peacefulness. You just think, oh, I've done all those things and I'm still doing things. But there is something, I don't, that you're right, there's a stage that you just think, phew, you know, this is it.
This is it.
And it's a lovely feeling. But the thing, the other thing is, for me, is that I've actually fallen in love. And so that's quite a big thing as well, actually, because I felt that that wasn't going to happen.
Wow.
You know, and and it is a very wonderful thing, but it does bring up all that almost, that, those teenage angst feelings.
Doesn't it? That bit never gets easier.
It never gets easier. And you just say, oh my goodness, I'm behaving like a teenager again, you know. But it is also a very wonderful thing because you think, wow, you know, that's quite amazing, actually.
That is incredible.
Yes. That's something I would like to make a film about as well, actually. It's about love and aging. Yeah.
I think there's a certain, there's a different energy about it, isn't there? Because hormones aren't on a route march for either party. So it puts a completely different slant on it. It's more organic
rather than
that bang.
Yeah, absolutely. Of, you know, it is, exactly.
Of hormones meeting each other and exploding. It's more organic and it's like a beautiful bud unfolding and unfurling in its own time.
No, it is. It's amazing, actually. And exciting as well. And but it's society's attitude towards that, which I'm very interested in, because it is seen, when I put it to my grandchildren, my granddaughters, that I was interested in making a film about that, they said, I said, what do you think about older people falling in love and having relationships in the, and they said, disgusting, Grandma. Gross, you know, and I was like, okay, that's exactly what I'm looking for, actually, because I think that attitude has to change.
Yeah. Well, most children can't even bear the thought of their parents making love, can they? It's I know.
I think I was a bit like that, actually.
I'm sure I was as well.
Yes, definitely. I'd be like, ooh, gross. So I would like to sort of challenge the attitude a bit as well.
Fantastic. That would be great.
Yeah, that's something I'm looking into, actually. Doing a bit of research into that, and I have met some lovely older couples that would be amazing for that particular subject, that are falling in love in the later stages of their life.
Nothing warms my heart more than when I see an older couple sitting and walking along holding hands.
I love that.
Just makes my heart go, oh.
I know, it's a wonderful thing,
isn't
it?
It's so beautiful.
And people that have lived together and been married or whatever for a long, long time and still truly love each other. Because it's not an easy thing, is it?
It's not
easy at all. So, yeah, that's something I'm quite interested in.
That would be brilliant. So how long have you been with this man?
Well, we've been together probably only a couple of years. But it's a really lovely relationship, actually. He thinks he's my toy boy, but he's 66. Yes, dream on. But we get on really, really well. And the fact that we have our own lives and our own, you know, our own places is lovely too. And it's quite exciting. And it's very nice. And it's something I didn't expect to happen,
fantastic.
I have to say.
You have to make that film, Sue.
I will. This is going to be my project, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, I am working on it.
Good.
I am working
good.
on it.
I will keep my ears and eyes open for potential couples.
Okay. Oh, please do.
Yeah.
Please do. Yeah, that's the thing. I've got some, but I need more.
Okay. Right, how many are you looking for?
Well, probably, it doesn't matter. Just whatever. We can work it around it.
Do they have to be in this country?
Not necessarily, but it would mean... No, they probably would because of filming.
Okay.
You know, I don't know.
Well, you could maybe do it by Skype. Yeah, do some Skype recordings or something. Oh,
that would be a great idea, wouldn't it? Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
Because, you know, I mean, this goes out across America.
Yeah,
so
oh my God, that would be
brilliant.
It
would be quite nice to have a North America, UK.
I'd be very happy to
And actually see if there's, are there similarities? Are there, you know, differences to attitudes? And
yes. There has been a film made, which was made in America,
actually. Oh, was that? Okay.
Yeah, and really interesting film. But so mine will be slightly different from that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but that, no, that's a good idea. Okay.
Mm. So if anybody listening to this knows anybody or might be a potential couple to be interviewed,
that's perfect.
Then get in touch with Sue via her website.
Yeah,
which will be
brilliant.
On the page.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, very exciting.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah.
God, that's great. Okay.
Have you got any plans for the one you've already done?
No, not at the moment. I mean, what we did is it's a locally based film, really. It's about local people, but still interesting for the wider, you know, the world or whatever. That wasn't my, post-production wasn't my thing, really.
Right.
But if anyone has any ideas, I'd be really interested in that,
because it's an important message to get out,
I think. It is. It's educational.
It is.
You know, and for young people, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So we're still working on that side of it, actually. But we have shown it locally. And a lot of, like, lots of groups have used it here as well, which has been really... And what's been lovely is that we've gone along to groups with the women, and we've done questions and answers.
Brilliant.
And so for them, it's been an amazing thing, because when we had a premiere for the film, I got them picked up in a big stretch limo. They had champagne.
Oh, wonderful.
I know. And it was, we took them to the Hastings Museum, and there were 200 people there for the premiere. And we weren't expecting so many people. So it was a huge thing. And it was lovely for them, because they were celebrities, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's been really, really a positive thing. And the questions and answers things has been very interesting too, you know. And they love going. They love appearing at these things. See, that's another thing. They didn't expect that to happen at their age, did
they? Exactly. Of course they didn't. And what a wonderful thing for Rita to experience.
Oh, amazing.
In her last few years.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, the funny thing was, a week before Rita died, we organised getting together sometimes, and we had a pre-Christmas thing. Little did we know, you know, but she was amazing.
Mm.
And so it was, I'm really glad that we did that, actually. It was a wonderful day. We had Christmas crackers and, you know,
brilliant.
And we had such fun. So that was quite an interesting get together that she organised with me, and that was a wonderful end, actually.
Perfect end for
her, for those women all to see her.
Yeah.
And we did have such a laugh that day too, so it was wonderful.
Did you see the film on Channel 4 a couple of years ago, Fabulous Fashionistas?
Yes.
That was
fantastic. Yes, it was amazing.
Wasn't it brilliant?
Well, that came out the same time that I was putting my...
Oh, did it?
My film out was on at the local cinema here. I loved that film. And that's another area. Look at those women.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And there's that wonderful model.
Oh,
she's in her 70s with that long grey hair.
She's 80s.
She's in her 80s.
She's in her 80s.
She's stunning.
I know. And she is amazing. And yeah, that was a wonderful film too. So people are talking about that, aren't they? You know, the thing about aging. And that's what I really love.
It's keeping it high on the agenda, though, isn't it?
You've
really
got to keep,
it's
yes,
really
absolutely,
important to keep it on the agenda.
And I will.
And for all of us to be a role model.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, I was appalled when I was 50.
Mm.
I think it was almost the day after my 50th birthday, 6 years ago, I got a letter from Saga, which in North America you may not know. Saga is something aimed at the third generation.
Oh yes, I know.
The
I
older,
know.
And I thought,
yeah.
What?
I know. Oh,
about
my
life,
God.
Something. I don't know, something about comfortable cushions and
oh, God,
comfortable shoes. And
I,
oh please,
I know.
Saga, you really need to change
absolutely,
your marketing to
agree.
The absolute minimum 70+. You are so out of touch.
Absolutely, absolutely.
With people between 50 to 70 nowadays, completely
absolutely,
out of touch.
And it needs to change. I agree. Well, I actually got a magazine sent through the post, very much like you're talking about, and it had comfy slippers, incontinence pants,
yes.
And I was like, oh please, oh really,
really,
oh, give
you
me
think?
A break. Okay, there are, you know, that's the thing, that whole attitude has got to change.
It has.
And I think Fabulous Fashionistas did something for that as well, actually, to show that, you know, we are still young at heart, for God's sake, you know, and we just have got so much going for us.
And we make our own rules. We don't follow rules, do we? That's what's so fantastic.
No, we don't. Never.
Make up our own. Well, you made up your own quite a long time ago.
Absolutely. I certainly did, yes.
So what's on the agenda for 2016 for you, Sue?
2016, well, I want to continue with this project. I've put it on hold for a while, so I want to continue with that. I'm going to travel a bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I fancy a bit of travelling.
Anywhere in particular?
No, I haven't got anywhere in mind at the moment. I would like to go... when I say travel, I would like to go... Like, just go on long weekends to Europe and places like that. Just kind of get in my car, drive off to, you know... Dover or wherever it is, and go off for some little adventures.
Fabulous.
That's what I'd like to do. That's how I see this year panning out, actually. And whatever comes your way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm open for offers and whatever, you know. Whatever happens, I will take it, you know. Hello? No, not really.
You'll examine it and decide if it's an opportunity worth pursuing.
Absolutely. That's it. So I'm feeling quite excited about life, actually. And that's what you do, you know, because you never know.
You never know. Well, I think we need to get you out with your film that you've already done and the one that you are making. Rather than interviewing these aging couples falling in love via Skype in North America, I think Hollywood should fly you out.
Yes, please.
I'm just sowing that seed to anybody who happens to be listening in downtown LA.
Yeah, hello.
That you really need to know about this woman.
Oh, yeah, please.
That would be quite exciting.
I never thought of it from that angle. Yes, okay. Anyone out there in Hollywood?
That would be so exciting.
That would be brilliant. So you never know.
You never know what's around the corner.
And that's what I love, the idea of doors opening.
Yeah.
See, that's what I love.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. There's a door there and you open it and there you go.
Yeah. And it's just having the courage to open the door, isn't it?
It is.
It's the fear of what's on the other side that can actually paralyse so many people.
Yeah. I don't have that fear.
No. Really?
No, I don't.
You surprise me.
I don't have that fear. I have a fear of pigeons, but I don't have a fear of opening that door.
Have you got any catwalk modelling coming up this year?
I don't know, because the Della Wall one, that's every other year. Oh, who knows? I do sit for these artist groups.
Ah.
And one of them is a hat designer. And I get to wear the most amazing things. Really wonderful, you know. And I sit there still for an hour.
Gosh.
Which is...
That's quite a challenge,
isn't
it? It's
quite a challenge. It's almost like a form of meditation, actually, because what I do is I focus on something. And I I love doing it, actually.
Do you?
I really love doing it. And it's only very quiet and peaceful. Mm. And you just go off into some sort of, you know, somewhere. I don't know where I go, but it's very peaceful wherever it is. And I just sit there and I get to wear these amazing outfits and these headdresses and things.
Fantastic.
Because as I say, I love dressing up, you know, and that's sort of... I wore something that was made by... It was featured in Vogue magazine.
Wow.
I was like, wow, God, that's amazing. So who would have thought, you know? So that's, yeah. So I will still sit for the model for the artist class.
That is quite a discipline, though, to be absolutely still
it
for
is.
That length of
it
time.
Is.
What do you do if you get an itch?
Well, that's the thing. I'll tell you what, when I first did it, right, I thought that's what you were supposed to do, right? Because you say, you're sitting for these artists, so you sit still. When I finished the session, they said they'd never had a model sit so still.
Really?
And I was like, I said, oh, well, I thought that's what you were supposed to do. And they said, well, no, people do fidget a bit, Sue. You can scratch your nose. And But I was like, oh, okay. I was a bit naive. But I do, you have to stop sometimes because you have to clear your throat.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. You have to do a cough or whatever. But it's a nice feeling, though. A really nice feeling. And they're really lovely people.
And you get to see...
And sometimes they give me...
Do they?
Yeah, they give me some portraits.
Fantastic.
And some of them are really good. And you walk around afterwards and you can look at the pictures and they're all varied, you know.
Mm.
But it's lovely, actually. Really nice people. And the one that I do in Rye, which is near in East Sussex, they're all in their late 70s, 80s.
Oh, wow.
The artists. yeah, as well. That's another one I do. So it's nice. And it makes you feel like, I don't know, just sitting still for a while is really good for you, isn't it?
We don't do that very often, actually, do we? Just sit still.
I do.
Okay. Good for you. Thank you, Sue. We've got about 30 seconds left.
Okay, so you're very welcome. Yeah,
it has been absolute joy and a pleasure, as I knew it would be a riot. And, you know, 25 minutes wasn't long enough. 40 minutes clearly wasn't long enough with you, so we'll have to come back after you've made your film. When you're having your debut and you're going on the red carpet in Hollywood with your film,
oh, wow.
I will interview you on your experience.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I look forward to that.
Well, you can put it out there. Law of intention. Okay. Put it out there.
Thank
you. We put it out there in the universe now.
Thank you so much.
Just wait for it to come back.
It's exciting.
It is.
Can't wait.
So you've been listening to Katie Day and Creating Ripples. Listen in and be part of the revolution that is rocking the world. Women over 50 are the new future. We are awesome, fearless, fabulous, inspiring, passionate, courageous. In fact, we just rock.